Good morning. This is Lance Kenmore with the Kenmore team, and I'd like to welcome you to this week's edition of the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. As always, you can contact me, Lance Kenmore, anytime direct on my cell phone at 727-8977 or visit us on the web at kenmoreteam.com. Once again, I always like to thank John for hosting and everybody here at the station for working to make this happen. John McKay, how you doing?
Four-wheel drive, I'm good.
Yes, yes, you are good. However, it was not, I don't know if I would describe it as a good week overall for Tri-Cities. You know, it's funny because last week we were just, you know, on the beginning of, I don't think we quite knew how bad it was going to get. Had we done the show on Sunday or Monday instead of Saturday. And then hopefully we're nearing the tail end of it. But geez, the piles of snow were huge. I mean, it was definitely reminiscent of 2 years ago. And I think our own little version of snowpocalypse again. But did manage to get in the studio with us this time. He is dug out. He's thawed out. Mr. Mike Denslow with Home Street. Mike, how you doing?
I'm doing good. And you wouldn't have wanted me here last Saturday. I was hacking, coughing, sneezing, all that kind of stuff. Yeah,
pretty much like the rest of our air staff.
Yes, it was. I don't want that. You're exactly right. I do not need any additional things to make life harder this time of year. So, one of the things we always like to do before we jump into our topic is we like to start off with our crazy celebrity real estate story. And this one coming out of Town and Country Magazine.com is Eleanor Roosevelt's New York City townhouse is now on the market. She lived in the home.
I was going to say, she doesn't live there anymore, does she?
No, no, Mike, she doesn't. But she did from 53 to 58, and she entertained some very notable figures there. Including John F. Kennedy was known to hang out there. So really interesting, though, when you see something on the market there for $13.5 million. This place was built in 1873. And I think what's crazy about these homes when you compare them to like construction around here is it is 5 stories, but get this, it's only 19 feet wide. I mean, some of our, you know, rooms that we see these days are bigger than 19 feet wide, but it's when you put that over the course of 5 floors and it's deep, that it's actually 5,200 square feet. But can you imagine living in your house only 19 feet wide?
1,000 per level, huh?
Yeah, pretty much what you're looking at. So really kind of crazy when you look at those long, narrow rooms like that, but pretty historically awesome. I don't know if that's how I'm going to spend $13.5 million, but it is a pretty cool looking place.
Elevator or stairs, Lance?
That is stairs. There was no mention of an elevator in the listing that I saw. So that would not be an ideal situation for me. But when you're short on space and land is a premium like it is in New York, we just see those type of things happen.
I'm going to have to pass.
Okay, gotcha. I'm on that's a no for me too. I see a lot of these that make me want to be able to do something on, and that one is one I'm going to keep looking. So, well, we always like to kind of tailor our national story with our local real estate story. And Mike and I both, we kept getting the question, you know, all week. I'd go to Starbucks and I'd pick up, you know, my coffee in the morning or when it was open. There was a couple days they were closed, but people would always say, like, geez, Lance, what are you doing in real estate right now this time of year? And when we have these huge storms, what happens in your world and what does that look like? And so Mike and I, we started writing writing down a couple notes and thoughts for what happens to real estate during the snowpocalypse. And so the first thing that I wrote down is we were pretty busy. I mean, number one, you know, you want to make sure that your families are safe, your property owners are protected, and your staff is safe. And so we were off for a couple days there. So we went to a limited service, you know, type of model. When the schools closed on Monday previously in the week, we went ahead and closed, and kind of like you hear on the radio, you know, non-essential staff, you know, and that's a good way.
Who are they?
To put it out there. But yes, McKay, that's the thing, is you start to have to prioritize. And so one of the things, I was talking to a title and escrow rep earlier in the week, and he says a lot of people and family members and other people are like, well, geez, why don't you just close, you know, for a couple days and, you know, just call it good. The problem is in real estate and contracts, even with extenuating circumstances, there's some things happening that have time-sensitive deadlines. And there were still, the county was still open to record. And so there was still contractual recordings that were going to be taking place. And even with 2 feet of snow or 3 feet of snow drifts in front of the house, there were a lot of sellers that were expecting that still to close on Monday and Tuesday. And really, there were people ready to move in. Like, they had made their plans and they did not have anywhere to go. And so what we kind of did is, there's a couple people in the office that have larger all-wheel drive vehicles and four-wheel drive vehicles. And we kind of consolidated resources. And those of us that could make it out, we had our closing coordinators. It was great. In fact, I kind of turned into their assistant. And so they were like, Lance, I need keys to go to Richland, to this address, for this closing, and I need you to take keys over to Coldwell Banker and drop those off. And so we just found a way to make it work, but we definitely did have to reallocate our resources. We also took it a step further, and we did those vacant home checks for our sellers that are not here and out of town. The last thing you want is for, if you do have a frozen pipe, or if for some reason your heat pump gets, you know, there were a lot of pictures on Facebook this last week of snow, you know, surrounding all the heating and air units. And, and so if those aren't working or get kicked out. And so we did, it was an adventure for, in fact, the funny thing about it, when you look at our team, the guy that went out and did vacant home checks was our web guy, because he had a four-wheel drive pickup truck available to him. And so our lead coordinator and ISA, Ryan, shout out to Ryan, he got out there and took the list from the closing coordinators and the listing coordinator, and he was doing some serious snow busting and some vacant house checks. So
I know Ryan. I'm sure that's better than the average day for him.
That was a highlight.
Yeah.
Yes, he was excited to get out and do it. And so that was kind of the beginning. We kind of have that checklist that we go by. And actually, even before the snow hit, we were doing checks on those properties before to make sure stuff was ready, and then also during, and then some follow up afterwards. And you know, they weren't huge things, but, you know, we found huge things before, but there's a couple little things that we did find. And, you know, maybe this path needed to be cleared and people were trying to deliver furniture here. And so it really definitely created a lot of extra work, but facilitating those move-ins and those key transfers, you know, business still goes on during those days, and we have contract deadlines. And we had houses sell. You know, a lot of people said, gosh, are you selling anything during this type of weather? Mm-hmm. Well, yes, we had, you know, during right through the thick of it last Saturday and Sunday and Monday, we had houses go under contract and deals go together. And so we were still busy working on those. And some of those had very time sensitive deadlines where they were contingent. And so we needed to get house A under contract to make the house B work. And in fact, one of our sellers put an awesome awesome note on Facebook, and they said it was a Snowmageddon miracle. so yes, there were miracle house sales still happening during that time period. But it's also a good time for us to take a look at marketing. One of the first things that we notice, and we monitor this very, very closely, is a lot of our listings and homes, we're doing the called 3D Matterport tours, where you can walk through the house. We have a special 3D camera that does 360-degree scans.
I've seen those.
And you can walk through the house, and you can also do what they call dollhouse view, where if you picture like a dollhouse and you take the roof off, you can look down and see where the rooms are all situated in the house. What was interesting, this last week, all of the sudden our web traffic starts to spike and we get more people looking at the online tours. You know, people had cabin fever. And so what do? You jump online and you start surfing the net. So we were still, you know, one of the things was marketing, and it was following up with those clients, the questions that they had as they were going through that. And that was a big portion of what we did this last week. We are coming up on our first break. After the break, Mike and I are going to talk about, though, the repercussions of this and how we see the market starts to build up some pressure and what will happen in the real estate market when all of this melts.
Right here on News Talk 870.
Welcome back to the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. We've been talking about what happens to the real estate market and business when we go through a pretty intense weather-related week like we've had. So, Mike, when we talked earlier in the week, we're like, okay, this is what everybody's talking about. And that's usually how you and I bring the topic to the show. And it's like, what are you doing this week? What's happening in the market? I mean, we had to delay quite a few listings because this is just what happened. So we had them scheduled. You know, we had this amazing January that was warm, and everybody was thinking, gosh, I think we're going to get out of it, you know, this year. And so we had set appointments and we were going to take pictures. And so from our side of the fence, in that perspective, was, yeah, we had five or six different seller appointments this week that have now postponed everything for 2 weeks. And so here's a situation where we were already low inventory, and now we don't have that new inventory on the market. And so it's kind of building up a little bit. And what's that look like? You see a lot on your side of the fence with the financing. What's that look like in your world?
The buyers back up. So the buyers, there's more and more buyers accumulating for less and less houses available. So just like a couple of years ago when we had that snow hang around for a while, it's not like things completely stop, but they definitely slow down a little bit because of access and availability. I mean, it's difficult to get out and look at houses, especially even after work and those kind of things. And now it's even a little bit worse. So what happens is it just starts backing up. And then your business is going to all of a sudden release a whole bunch of listings, and other places in town are going to do the same thing. And then people are going to start going under contract, and it's going to be, we're going to feel it in March, April,
yes,
rather than feeling it right now.
Yeah, that's it. That's exactly the case. And a lot of times people will ask me, and you know, it's, and we were saying this, it was kind of, you know, it was kind of somewhat looking back humorous. And we always say, if there's no snow on the ground in January, you know, then traditionally our spring market will start the 1st of February. Yep. And we kind of had that. And so everybody was like, yeah, we made it. It's February 1st and we're done. And then boom, Mother Nature gives us a lesson and we're not done. And so, yeah, so we're now going back to kind of what Mike's saying there exactly is a more traditional spring market start now will likely now be moved to March 1st. I mean, we got a lot of business done in January and even the first week of February and a lot of stuff going there. But now we will have kind of that more traditional where everybody's like, this is why everybody says, well, you should list in the spring. And I'm going to wait and list in the spring because we are now going to have a real fireball of activity, which fireball, I hope, melts all the snow there. Thank you. Or I guess you could take that the drink way, too, if you needed to. We might need it in March and April. And so, but yeah, that activity level is really going to increase March 1st. And we are probably going to have one of those big, big spring markets.
You know, what's funny is on our side, we're more focused on the closings, right? You get them under contract. We got all these people under contract in January, and now we're closing them in February. So maybe we get a few less under contract in February. So maybe the March closings are a little bit lighter. But I'm thinking as soon as the snow's gone, more listings, more buyers, bam, 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 and all of a sudden it's chaos again.
Yeah, and you're absolutely right. And for us, you know, this is really kind of, you know, a time for us to check in with people. So, you know, we were still at the office, and one of the things that this is the time of year where you really can look at your marketing. So we're like, okay, well, if we're not with buyers in the car, and if we're not taking pictures of those houses, let's dig into some of that database management, which is a huge part of our marketing. So, hey, are we missing these email addresses? Why don't we call those clients, check on them, make sure they're doing okay during the storm, and then go ahead and get your database updated. At the same time, we were making those calls and saying, okay, well, when should we call you back to think about listing? And a lot of those people are like, hey, we just moved our timeline now. We had quite a few people that what they were doing was we had already met with them in January. In February, they were doing their fixes to their house. So they were getting that bedroom painted. They were getting those floors refinished. Well, guess what happened? We lost a week because the painter couldn't get to their house and he couldn't get down the long driveway that needed to be plowed and didn't get plowed. So it really kind of, you know, just starts to snowball on top of each other. And they're looking at, okay, now we are into that traditional market. So just like Mike said, there is going to be a lot of inventory coming up. If you're a buyer struggling to find something, though, I would say now's the time where we can get on the phone and be talking about that. And I know, Mike, a lot of your process happens electronically. So maybe they're not out looking for the houses right now, but they can be working on that pre-qualification process with you over the phone.
Absolutely. I prefer phone versus the app where you're just following along online. And over the phone, you can ask questions. You might say something you don't think's relevant, but it is helpful for me. So I like going through all of that. And then, yeah, people can email in, you know, pay stubs and whatnot, or upload them with encryption and all those different things. We don't have to meet in person, but if we can, it's always a good idea. But I mean, if we have a 2-week pause, a 3-week pause, you know, slow down. Okay, let's do it over the phone. Yesterday, I talked to a gal, past client, looking to upgrade, and she said, "Oh, well, are you going into work today?" And I just called her. You know, I just skipped a step and they're like, okay, what's going on? Oh, well, my husband's thinking this and we paid off all this debt and we want to, you know, all these different things. And now we're looking at these houses. Oh, great. And so we just did everything over the phone, got them updated numbers and everything. So they're
good
to go.
Absolutely. Good. And that's always that process that we're looking at is, yeah, is there stuff? I mean, you're stuck. You might have been stuck at home and you might be again. Hopefully not. Hopefully we're through the worst of it. But it's a time where you can get those, you know, go through your emails, find the paperwork you need, look at what you've been sent and work on getting that over to Mike, because once it breaks, there's going to be a lot of competition. And so you want to be a qualified buyer if we're back to multiple offer situations again, which we very well could be for the best houses that are on the market.
And the good news is this time of year, everybody has their W-2s, right?
Yes.
They just got them. And, you know, pulling pay stubs is typically not very difficult, and bank statements, those kind of things. So it's pretty easy to pull the necessary things together for people these days.
Absolutely. Good information on your side of the fence there, Mike. We did put up some new listings. Even with everything going on there, I have my pick three. Mm-hmm. There is some awesome properties. And this pick number one that we put up, just a fantastic spot. 15301 South Grandview Lane in Kennewick. Kind of sits up on the hill up there in Kennewick. Fantastic layout. So it is on a half acre lot. It's a four bedroom, four bath. And that is a Rambler with a bonus room, and it's just under 3,400 square feet. So big, you know, nice big Rambler, and then you get kind of that bonus room. So a lot of times people do exercise room up there or kids playroom. A lot of square footage on one level, though. Tons of awesome upgrades. You've got Brazilian hardwood floors, large windows, granite tile counters in the kitchen, prep island with a secondary sink, double built-in ovens. You've got a built-in convection microwave. I mean, they all stainless steel appliances. Really, really well done property. And covered backyard for entertaining. So awesome, awesome views. And that's coming in at $475,000. So great, great property up there on Grandview Lane in Kennewick. Pick number two. Now, this is 815 South Ivy Street in Kennewick. This is a two-bedroom, one-bath, and just under 1,000 square feet. You've got laminate wood flooring, vinyl windows. They've updated the kitchen, and they've remodeled the bath with tile floors, fully fenced backyard, RV boat parking, and that's at $155,000. And I tell you what, it's more rare these days on the show that we have stuff, you know,
under 200.
Yeah. And so awesome, awesome place there in Kennewick. And then kind of an outlier that I grabbed is we've picked up a lot in Prosser. So this is a 2.5 acre lot up on the hill outside of Prosser. Absolutely beautiful, beautiful panoramic views. And that lot is actually priced at $22,500. And so if you've been looking for a place a little bit outside of town, rural, with some views, and you're considering Prosser, this is the lady called us. She's like, look, I'm done. You know, it's just vacant land. I've had it for years. I want to get rid of it. So give us a call. We can get you a map and some pictures of that. You can go to our website, kenmoreteam.com, and check out all of those listings. Mike, if people need to get pre-approved, how do they get a hold of you?
572-3651 is the best way to reach me.
And we will be right back here next week, hopefully snow and ice free.
On News Talk 870.